Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. This morning, I would like to speak on the thought of the last goodbye. The last goodbye. Reading from verse 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing to be with us this morning. Heavenly Father, we give you all glory and honor and praise today for sending your dear Son Jesus to die on Calvary for our sins. We thank you also, Lord Jesus, for the Word of God, which grants us, Lord, strength, help, and encouragement in times of need. We pray as we look to the Word of God that you would speak to us today, that you would send your anointing by the power of your Holy Spirit upon not only this speaker, but upon every hearer here, that, Lord Jesus, we might be encouraged in our relationship with you. And we ask this in your holy name. Amen. This was quite a day for the disciples. It was a day that they knew about. It was a day that Jesus had been preparing them for. It really didn't take them by, it shouldn't have taken them by too much surprise, since Jesus was telling them that he was going to ascend to the Father and that they were going to pray and believe God for the Holy Spirit to move upon their lives. It was, but despite that fact, it was a day of disappointment, because it was going to be the last day on earth that they saw their Savior Jesus, the man who they loved so much because he did so much for them and ministered to them in such a great way. And how they lived completely dependent upon Jesus, in a sense, is something that they needed to continue to do. And Jesus told them that by telling them that the Holy Spirit would come. And that is the plan for the body of Christ. God wants us as followers of Jesus to be dependent upon Jesus for everything. Everything that we do, we think, and of course it's true, we need to be dependent upon God to do the work of his kingdom. We need to be dependent as far as being people who witness for Christ, who teach others about Jesus, who encourage others for the kingdom of God. But we also need to be dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit. in order to be effective husbands and fathers or wives or effective in the workplace, good witnesses for the kingdom of God and people of excellence. God wants to touch us in every way. But we also are, according to God's divine plan and design, dependent upon one another. That's the way God planned it. In, I believe, the book of Romans, the Bible says we're to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. As far as serving God, we're to do it together, which means we're not only supposed to come and attend church, and that's great, and I'm glad that you're all here this morning, but to really be a member of the body of Christ is to be someone who is dependent on another believer, but is also someone who's willing to have someone depend upon them. Now, this past week, we lost someone as a church who we have been dependent upon, Brother Bill Martell. And I know some of you might be new to this church and are maybe not sure who Bill is. And Bill is normally the gentleman who does prayer in the middle of the service, for those of you who might not quite be familiar with who he is. And rather suddenly, it was his time. And the Lord Jesus Christ called him home to be with him forever. And bless God, and we rejoice in that. But we're also sad, and we're sad for a number of reasons this morning. Number one, we're sad because we've lost a precious brother and a precious friend. But we're also sad because Bill, and depending on how you're involved and what you're involved with in the church, was a big part of our ministry here. And so now there is a big void. But Bill was not the first person, nor will he be the last person to say goodbye. Saying goodbye is something that happens all the time in life, including serving Jesus. Some say goodbye, like our brother did this past week, by being promoted to glory. And yes, death is an enemy, and it's a sad thing. But don't view Bill's death as tragic. View it as an early promotion. Amen? Because to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. In fact, Psalms tells us, precious in the eyes of God are the death of his saints or his faithful servants. So Bill now is in a place, and although he had a blessed life here, his life is immeasurably better because he is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we depended upon Bill, and there's a big void in this church. But and people leave, and some people leave because of that. But people also leave or say goodbye for other reasons. Sometimes, as far as life goes, people have to move from one city or sometimes even one state to another, especially in the world that we live in today and especially in the Navy culture that we have here. Sometimes someone that we depend upon as far as a church, who do things in a church, they may not move geographically, but God might lay upon their heart that it's time for them to move to a different church. And you know, being part of a church is important, and we're so happy and grateful for everyone who's a part here, but we understand that sometimes God moves people from one church to another. People belong to God, not to churches. So at those times, people say goodbye, and there's that sense of loss and absence. People age, and as they age, they are less able to do the things that they were once able to do. And so in a sense, it's a partial goodbye. There are many reasons. And when people say goodbye, It's important for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to not only understand that this will happen, but to be prepared for that day when to that precious brother or sister in Christ, we say the last goodbye. One way that we can be prepared for that is to take advantage of every opportunity we have to learn and to grow from that person's influence in our lives. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 5, that we're to make the most out of every opportunity. And there are two ways that people minister, or two ways that we depend on people. Number one, people are ministered to by what we do. I am preaching, or trying to preach, this morning. And earlier Tony taught Sunday school as well as some other people. And that has ministered to people. I'm sure it has. I've heard good things about Sunday school. But the ministry of Tony or myself or of Brother Bill, and Brother Bill served as a Royal Ranger leader for many years as well as youth leader, and currently was an elder of our church at the time of his passing. People not only receive from what Bill did or what others do, they receive by who they are. The Bible puts it this way in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers. There's many ways that people are ministered to, and one of the greatest ways that one individual can encourage and help another individual is by their life. How they live, how they treat their spouse, how they raise their children, how they deal with the work situation, how they treat other people. And Bill was a shining example of that. He was a loving husband, a wonderful father, and a godly man of prayer and devotion. And there was ample opportunity for everyone in this room to get to know Bill and to learn from him as far as why his life was successful in these areas. And I know for sure that if he was here, he would give you just one reason why it was so, and that was because of his faith in Christ, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit that was upon his life. But the only way that, and Bill's not the only one, there are many people within our church body who have a lot to offer, not only by what they do, but by who they are. The only way to benefit and to grow by that, to have that as an impact in your life, is to get to know people like Bill. As far as being a disciple and what a disciple is, Jesus, before he ascended to the right hand of the Father, wasn't in our text this morning, he told disciples, make disciples of all men. And what a disciple is basically a student, a learner, someone who decides to, in his or her life, become more like Jesus. And as far as being a disciple, it's a lifelong calling. There's something, no matter how far you go in Christ, no matter how much you learn in Christ, no matter how more like God you become, there's still more to learn. And whether or not we maintain that calling of disciple and we become more like Jesus in our lives depends on whether or not we choose to make ourselves disciples or pupils or learners, so to speak. And we And to do that, we've got to make ourselves available, and not just available. We need to be people who take the initiative in trying to grow more and be like other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as far as making those parting times of saying goodbye more bearable, take initiative in those people who know and love Jesus and who serve God. Watch them, listen to them. Ask them, what is the source? What is the strength of their life? And follow them, because you don't know when you might hear that last goodbye and you might lose that opportunity to grow in your faith. Secondly, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to treat every goodbye as if it were our last goodbye. Now, I'm regarding Bill, I've lost not only a board member, I've lost a friend. And this is not something I'm going to carry to my grave. But the one sad thing that I have, amongst other sad things from this past week, is last Sunday was a very rare Sunday where I really didn't get to speak to Bill at all. Usually we talk in the morning and then before church starts, and then we talk a little bit before Sunday school starts or during Sunday school and then right before church starts. And then usually the Martells and the Babbitts are the last people in the church, and the reason is because we're talking. But last Sunday was an unusual week in that I didn't see him before because I was teaching a class, and after the service I think they needed to leave, and I was occupied doing other things. I didn't get to say goodbye. Now, that's not something I'm going to carry to my grave. I wish I did. Of course, I didn't know that that would be the last time that I saw Bill. But had there been hard feelings between us, that would have been a very, very difficult thing to deal with today. One thing I know about Bill is that I'm sure, as was mentioned earlier this morning, I'm sure he left this world with no regrets. Claudette, I believe, or Lisette, was sharing that they never heard Bill say a bad word about anyone. And as such, Bill did leave this world with a clear conscience. We don't know. And I think one thing that this week has left us with is we just don't know when our time is, and you never know when the person that you love and that you're seeing, whether that will be the last time that you will see them. If that is the case, would you like to leave them with the feelings and the words that you left them with? The Bible puts it this way as far as the importance of resolving differences. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, Scripture says, "Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." What is that saying regarding disagreements and hard feelings that can develop between people? And let me tell you, knowing Jesus is wonderful, and we become changed people when we accept Jesus Christ in our lives. But we don't become perfect people. And something happens when you bring imperfect people together, even people that know Jesus. Sometimes there are disagreements. Sometimes there are misunderstandings that lead to hard feelings and division. And Jesus understood that. And so God moved upon the Apostle Paul to write those words, "Don't let the sun go down on your wrath." The indication being that as soon as there's anger or division between you and another brother or sister, take care of it right away. Don't wait until tomorrow. For one reason, you don't know if that day will be the last goodbye, and you'll not have another opportunity to say, "I'm sorry," or to say, "Please forgive me," or to say, "I forgive you." and let's continue to move on in love and not division in our lives. Thirdly, as a church, we need to be prepared to step up and step in. Right now, and I thank God for his presence, but this morning is a sad time. It really is, because we've lost someone that we care about. We haven't lost too many people to death. Of course, we lost Jesse's mom about a year and a half ago, and we still miss her. We're going to miss Bill as well. And it's okay to grieve, and it's okay to be sad, not for him, but for the family and for us. That's part of it. In fact, that was in the New Testament culture. Jesus did not admonish Mary and Martha because they were weeping over the passing of their brother Lazarus. In fact, the Bible says he cried right along with them. He cared for them. And he understands that we as a church will go through a period of grieving. But I'm drawn back to this text this morning that we opened with. And that's the ascension of Jesus to the right hand of the Father. And after Jesus went up and disappeared behind a cloud, the disciples just continued to stand there and to look up in the sky without seeming wanting to do anything else but just stare and wait. And they were probably in shock and sad. And then all of a sudden, God sent them a messenger. He sent them an angel. And some of the words he shared were words of comfort. This same Jesus, same manner that he left, he's going to come back. So he wanted to encourage them. But it was also a word of admonishment, where now you need to get doing what Jesus wanted you to do. As I mentioned at the beginning of the message this morning, Bill has left a big void and a big gap in our church. And it would be a dishonor to him, but above all to the Lord Jesus Christ, to say, well, Bill's no longer here to be a leader and to pray. And one of the great things that Bill did for this assembly was to faithfully lift up this church and lift up the people of this church in prayer. And that's a great and tremendous loss. To say, we don't have him anymore, I guess those things aren't going to be done. Jesus spent 40 days, actually three years prior to that moment of saying goodbye, to prepare his disciples to do the work that he did. And I know God, in his infinite plan and his mercy, didn't take Bill from this church to leave the things that Bill was doing undone. And the people that God has to do those things aren't out there somewhere, and we'll have to pray them in, although we want people to come in and to find Christ and to grow. They're not in another church, and we're not going to hope and pray that another leader from another church decides to lead there and come here. They're right within the four walls of this assembly. God has been preparing you. And you know, you might not think, and not just Bill, but other people who have left for whatever reason they have left, the ministry still needs to go on. People still need to know about Jesus. Children still need to be taught. People need to be encouraged. And if the person who is doing it in God's providence is moved on some way or some reason, doesn't mean the work stops. It means God has someone within the body to take their place. Now, there's some here is probably saying, well, that's great, but I'm not a Bill Martell or Jesus or any or the apostles or anyone like that. Not only do I have a funny feeling, I know for sure that those 12 men that were staring up at the sky felt in their heart, I don't know how we're going to do it. But then 10 days later, the power of the Holy Spirit fell, and they became effective ministers of the gospel who not only did a great work for the kingdom, but prepared others for their last goodbye when it was time for them to leave this earth and go to another place. I'd like to ask our musicians to come this morning. I didn't plan to speak long today. But I would like to end on this note. The title of the message this morning was The Last Goodbye. And I'm saying that not because we'll never see Bill again. I've entitled that message The Last Goodbye because the next time we see him, we won't have to say goodbye. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Death, as I mentioned at the beginning of this message, is an enemy. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 describes him as such, and the Bible in the book of Revelation says the last enemy to be defeated will be death. It is something that's sorrowful. It is something that no one looks forward to. But because of Jesus Christ, the sting of death has been taken away. As I mentioned earlier, and I think it needs to be mentioned again, our brother Bill has not been defeated by death, but has been liberated by the power of Jesus Christ. Because he has accepted Christ as his Savior, he now, although his body will be laid to rest this coming week, his spirit will be in the presence of Almighty God, where the Bible says there'll be no more tears, nor sorrow, nor parting. So when we get there, we'll see Bill, and we'll see others who have gone on before us who know Jesus, and we'll never have to say goodbye to them again. We'll be with them, and we'll be with Jesus. It's a hope the Bible says the world doesn't have, because only those who personally know Jesus have received that hope and can have that assurance of eternal life with him. And so the closing verse of that says, encourage and comfort one another with those words. Let me tell you about something, and we need to know this for, number one, the Martells as we pray for them, but also as we pray for one another and we pray for ourselves in seeking God's comfort in the time of need, that the Word of God is quick and is powerful. And knowing that Bill's okay and we're going to see him someday isn't something that just speaks to our mind. But because it's truth and it's the Word of God, it also speaks to our spirits. Amen. And genuinely generates hope and peace within us. And the Bible also says, regarding life and living life and the troubles of life, whatever they might be, whether it be loss or something else, that the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This morning we're going to close with an old hymn. We want to pray, and I know there are those here, and you're new to the church, and you really didn't know Bill, and this doesn't affect you as well, maybe as much as other people who are here. But I know if you know Jesus, you're sympathetic to the brother or sister that's next to you. Let's believe God together for God to move supernaturally with his peace upon the Martell family and upon this church. Amen. To take, because it's already been paid for and already been promised, to take the sting of that last goodbye away in Jesus' name. Would you stand and let's sing together? I'm not sure which number it is in the hymnal.